What a testimony. What a testimony. Amen. Testimonies are good. A lot of people here tonight. What's your testimony? You know where you're going?
Hallelujah.
You know where you're going? If you die tonight, are you right with God? Have peace with God? Are you right with your fellow man? Have you cleared the record? Have you settled the account? Amen? Those are important questions. Have you settled the account? You know God keeps record, don't you? He does. Well, I thank God for that testimony. Maybe I'll share part of mine tonight. I don't know. I have a lot of things to say. I don't know how this will go, but let's pray. Father, thank you for that beautiful testimony of a changed life. Lord, we're gathered here together tonight under this tent. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here, Lord, already working. Changed life preaches so much, Lord. It says so much that some messages can't even say, Lord. But we thank you for that testimony. We give you praise and glory. And I pray for every heart here tonight, Lord, that's not right with you. I pray, God, that you'd get their attention, Lord. Help me to preach the word. Help me to stick to the word, Lord. Help me to trust you. Give me unction. Give me words to speak, Lord. Help me to stay close to your side, Lord. Help me to forget the things that I shouldn't say. Help me to overlook the things you don't want me to say, Lord. But, oh God, bring to my mind the important things that would save a soul tonight from an eternal hell, Lord. From an eternity, from a Christless eternity. Oh God, I pray you'd work in our midst tonight, Lord. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for this day. Thank you for that this is the day of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we can be saved today from our sins, Lord. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that could relate to that old life, the bondage of sin, it may be a bit different, but that thing that you just can't quit, you just can't get rid of, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd make them desperate tonight, Lord, to let the burden of sin go, to let Jesus be a new master, God, and let Jesus take over full control of the heart. Oh, Father, help me tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to say tonight that the Bible has a lot of answers. The Bible is full of answers for questions that we have in life. There's no other book like it, amen. It's a precious book. It has a lot of answers. But the Bible also tonight has one question that it doesn't give us the answer. And that's the title of my message tonight, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 2. And the question is this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we neglect the salvation through Jesus Christ, the question is, how shall we escape? The Bible is silent. I can't answer that question tonight. You can't answer that question. If there were an angel from heaven here tonight, he couldn't answer that question. If there were a devil from hell here tonight, he could not answer that question. How shall we escape if we neglect the so great salvation? First of all, I want to explore a little bit. How shall we escape? Jesus used that phrase and he said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Accounted worthy to escape. What does that mean? It means to deem entirely deserving. My friend tonight, are you deserving to escape the judgment of God? That's a question. What are we wanting to escape? What is the Bible saying here in Hebrews chapter 2? You can open your Bibles there. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The thing that the question that is of question here is, how shall we escape the judgment of God for the sin of my soul? That's the question tonight before us. My friend, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In Romans 2:16, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The thing that we are asked to escape tonight is the divine punishment or judgment from the wrath of a holy God upon every transgression and disobedience that you and I commit. How will you escape? Let me be clear tonight about God's judgment and the wrath that will be upon those that sin. Sin. What we are asked to escape here, or how to escape, if we neglect the so great a salvation, my friend, what will you do with your sin? Have you sinned? Do you have sin in your life? If you neglect salvation, how will you escape? What is your thought? What is sin? Let me teach us a little bit tonight on what is sin. 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever, just in case there's anyone here that thinks sin is that really bad stuff. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. To transgress means to violate God's law. This, my friend, tonight is not only speaking to the Jews back then who had the law of Moses. This is speaking to everybody here tonight. Every last one. You have sinned. You have disobeyed God. You have sinned. How are you going to escape the wrath of God when it comes? The Bible says in Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the word of God. So, sin is described as a transgression of the law of God. Next logical question is, what is God's law? Exodus 20, no other gods before me, no graven images, not take the Lord's name in vain, keep the Sabbath day holy, honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And some of these are a little longer. I just shortened them up for time's sake tonight. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor. And it gives a whole list, house, wife, lands, etc. there. That's the law of God. To be very clear on this point, turn in your Bibles with me to James chapter 2. We'll see what James has to say tonight on this matter. James chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 here says, if ye fulfill the royal law. Look at that. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. Ye ever had any respect to persons? Ye commit sin. And are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of, say the word, all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. James calls this a royal law, regal. That means belonging to the sovereign. This is God's law. And God does not change tonight, my friends. Amen? God is the same. He does not change. And this is His law, those 10 laws. This is the nature of God. This is the holiness of God. This is what He demands if you want to be in His presence. You say, brother, who can do that? This is God's holy standard that He requires everyone that wants to ever dwell in His presence. And He requires us to keep it. And that in perfection. You break it at any point, you are guilty of all. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in every area of your life, in every area of my life, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What's more, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This is God's word. My friend, I ask you a question. Have you ever stolen even a pack of gum that was not yours? If the answer is yes, I tell you, you stand guilty before God. Have you ever looked at your neighbor who to you seems whatever he touches just turns to gold, and you have longed for and desired and coveted those things? If that is in your heart, you stand guilty before God tonight. Now listen, people think because Jesus came and died that He somehow changed God's holiness, God's standard. And now God somehow overlooks our failures and knows that we are weak and poor and gemächlich, for those that know German. And you know, we can't quite measure up, and we are poor, and we can't help ourselves. And it's okay if we just try to do better or to do the best we can. My friend, the truth of the matter is tonight that Jesus Christ actually lifted the standard higher. He did. He lifted the standard higher. Let me show you. Jesus said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already within his heart, with her already in his heart. Matthew 5, 28. Check it out if you don't believe it. Have you ever done that? My friend, I it doesn't matter how you look on the outside. It doesn't matter who your father was. It doesn't matter what congregation you belong to. If you have looked on a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in the sight of Jesus Christ. And Jesus furthermore says, maybe you have managed to not do that, but what about this one? The Apostle John said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Dearly beloved, it's important that we get this straight tonight. It's important that we understand this. I don't know where you're at in your Bibles. You're probably in James, but go back to Hebrews chapter 2 again to our text. It says here in Hebrews chapter 2 that we ought to give the more earnest heed. And the reason that's there is because in Hebrews chapter 1, we have that great proclamation that it says, God, who in sundry times and divers manners has spoke to us through the prophets, but now in these last days has spoken to us through His Son. And in times past, He spoke through angels, and God worked miracles and signs and judgments. He brought judgments there by the word of angels. And we come down to chapter 2, and it says, therefore, because God has sent His Son, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. My friend, don't let your soul be distracted this week from the voice of God. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it was, and every, not most, not some, but every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, a reward. This is serious. If the words of an angel was steadfast, it came to pass. Let's take Sodom and Gomorrah, for instance. Those angels came to Abraham, told him what's going to happen. The next morning or sometime later, Abraham looked over there towards Sodom and he saw the smoke rise up towards heaven. It came to pass. Amen? Amen. It was steadfast. It stood. It was as the angels had said it would be. There was fire and brimstone from heaven upon that wicked place. It was a wicked place. It was an evil place. They were sinners. They were wicked sinners. And you know the story. But if you're here tonight, my friend, and I think this is where this thing gets us, sin is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I think we think things like this. Well, I'm not as bad as the men in Sodom. You know, I know something's not right. I know I don't have power over sin. I know there's some areas in my life that aren't right. I know that. I know that. But somehow we deceive ourselves in thinking, you know, God is just going to look the other way. And somehow it's going to work out. I'm here to tell you, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation when Jesus Christ came and in Him He took the sin of the world. He took that old man, that old evil sinful heart out of us and He puts in there a new heart. Kind of getting ahead of myself there, but if you're here tonight thinking, you know, it's not that bad, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Someone approached Jesus and kind of did this one sinner worse than the other type of thing with Jesus. And let's consider the answer that He gave them. You know, they were kind of gauging themselves. Are those sinners worse than those? And like that, and in Luke 13, verse 1, it says, there were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And best as I can tell, they actually took some human blood and offered it on some disgusting altar and sacrificed human blood. It was a heinous sin. And it told Jesus of that, such a wicked, wicked thing. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. My friend, the long and the short of it, in the sight of God, that pack of gum, that unregenerated heart, is as wicked as sacrificing human blood on an altar in the sight of God. It is. God is holy. He is holy. Sin, He cannot tolerate sin in His presence. Sin will not enter into the heavens. An unregenerated heart will not enter into the heavens. He that is filthy will be filthy still. He that is holy will be holy still. And sin cannot enter there. You say, what are you preaching? Some sinless perfection? The point that I'm making here still is to drive home, that is to drive home that there is none righteous in the sight of God. No, not one, according to Romans 3:10. The Bible says, for all have sinned, amen, and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And my friend, the question before us is, how shall we escape if we do not have the salvation of Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest, that means apparent, in the sight of God, in His sight. Now listen, but all things are naked, nude, and opened. This word jumped out to me. All things are naked and opened like it's already open. And the Greek word, and that the definition of that word mean open means to seize by the throat or neck. That is to expose the gullet of a victim for killing, to lay bare. And the Greek word is something like trachaliso. And it has to do with trach. You know what we do with a trach? We put it in here. And it's the picture I get is this to God, we lay there and everything is absolutely open and bare in his sight. And he's got the juggler in sight. And he's gonna kill if our sins, he's gonna destroy, he's gonna cast us into hell if our sins haven't been washed away through the blood of his son. Everything. We will not hide anything from God. Everything is open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's pretty alarming. That's putting it mildly, I think. It's a fearful thing for a sinner to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Talking now about God seeing things in your life. Friends, we have already clearly seen from the Bible that we cannot be righteous by our works. How will this stand? How will this stand? In Revelation 20, verse 12, same verse, different part of the verse, it says, and another book was open, which was the book of life. So we have a number of different books in heaven. We have the books, plural, and we have the book. We have the books, plural, where all our deeds and our works, both good and bad, and everything about us are recorded in minute detail. And then we have the great and grand book, where the Lamb's Book of Life, which we'll get to a little later. Let me tell you a bit of my testimony. I was 18 years old and going my rebellious way, living my own life, being a fairly good boy, but yet too good, I thought, to go to hell, and yet not good enough to go to heaven. No assurance in my soul, too good to think that God would cast a good boy like me into hell. And in my journey, God, so with his divine providence, placed this little booklet, this little track thing in my path, and this man had taken this track and he had drawn pictures in there of a soul of a man that is dying and goes on up to heaven, and he stands before the great throne, and there the books are open and his life is laid out before him. He sees every detail. He is sweating. Let me back up a little bit. You see this man dying. He grabs his breast like this, and he's like, oh, and he has a heart attack and he falls down. And there you see the angel of God just grasping his spirit, his soul, and they soar up into heaven, and the body is laid down into the grave. And you see this angel with this soul under his arm, and he's pointing that way, and you see him going past the moon and past the stars and past the galaxies, and out there you see this bright light, and he's going toward that light, and it's the almighty throne judgment of God that they're going towards. And they come up there to this throne, and this soul on the way up there saying, now, you know, I've always been a pretty good person, you know, I did this and that. And the angel just says, well, everything is recorded. Everything is recorded. You don't need to worry. And the guy is sweating. Sweat's coming off his forehead as they approach the throne. He's kneeling on his knees. The angel's standing beside him. And the voice comes out of this dazzling light throne. You can't see. The figure is so bright. And he says, open the book. Open the books and read the verdict, read his life. And so he, all of a sudden this picture flashes up there, and you see this man as a little boy, a little baby, and he says, that's me as a baby. Yeah, everything is recorded about your life here, everything. And it goes forward a little bit, and you see him with bad boys, and he's like, oh, not here. Please don't show that here. I was a fool to do that. And it goes on, and you see other very, very bad things that he's into, and he is terribly ashamed and fearful. And then you come up to this big chalkboard, if you will, and the lies, and there's a whole bunch of tallies below it, and stealing and lusting and drinking, a whole bunch of tallies below it where God was keeping record. And then all of a sudden the picture comes up and he's sitting in church. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty good after all. You know, see, I went to church. And it doesn't take long as the picture progresses to see that he's terribly bored and he's not in it and he's not with it. And the preacher is preaching where God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he's there trying to you know, sleeping kind of and not involved, not listening and looking at his watch. When is this going to be over? I wonder who's winning the ball game. He's thinking things like that. And the preacher is preaching to him in this picture, a reflection of his life. And finally he says, I've had enough. And he gets up and he walks out of church and he says, I must have been insane. He walked away from the Spirit of God, from the house of God. But there he was. And they come to the end of his record, and God says, now open the book of life to see if his name is there. And the angel opens up this gigantic book, and his finger goes down through to find his name, and he says, I don't see his name. And God says, take that wicked servant, bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into outer darkness. The difference, my friend, tonight, the way of escape is to have your name in the Lamb's book of life. None of us have a good record on the other book. It needs to be struck out. It needs to be erased. It needs to be blotted over with the blood of Jesus. And in that comes when you repent and turn away from those wicked things and listen to the preacher with rapt attention and drink it in and want it and be there and love to be around the people of God. You will wish with all your worth when you stand before God that you live your life that way. Amen? You will wish for all your worth you stayed away from every wicked buddy, evil buddy that defiled you. My friend, I ask you, is your name in the Lamb's book of life? It'll make the difference for eternity. Not a one of us here have a good record in the other one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know why God still wants to write it down, but he does. Friend, I contend tonight for the only way to escape the wrath of the holy God, that is to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. He goes in there, and he puts that precious blood, wipes your record clean. Is your record clean? The Bible says that and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And again, and there shall in no wise enter into it, speaking of heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What must I do to be saved? My friend, I probably said it in my unconcerned, rebellious life. Yeah, I know if I die, I'd go to hell. Brother up here said that tonight. But I want to tell us, sin is deceitful. Have you ever spent a couple days, weeks, after you said that, just thinking how bad hell is? No. The devil don't want you to. We say those things kind of think we're cool or tough. You know, I'll be there shoveling coal, people say. Oh, yeah? When was the last time that you stepped in fire and immediately didn't jump out of it? When was the last time that you went into a room full of fiery serpents that kept biting and biting and biting and enjoyed it? No. You don't spend hours pondering how bad hell is. When was the last time that you were in such a dark room that your eyes just hurt for straining to see light? And you thought about that for a day or for a week, and you said, yeah, I'll probably go to hell if I die. You know, you're there in that dark room, and it's so dark, and it's so dry, and it's so suffocating, and it's excruciating pain from the heat, yet there's no light. Your eyes are hurting to strain to see light, and there's light, but you find out it's only your imagination of light. And it happens to be that in your mind, you see yourself as a little boy swinging under the apple tree in the cool breeze, and mom comes out with a glass of lemonade, and you drink it, and your memory is there to haunt you. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to suffer the wrath of God. You want to escape. I'm telling you, hell was not made for anyone in this room tonight. It was made for the devil and his angels. Don't let your friends tell you you'll have fun in hell. You won't. You want to be saved. You need to be saved. We are dreadfully awful sinners in the sight of God. What must I do to be saved? Our text says, we're going to turn the corner here a little bit. We're going to go on to the third point. So great a salvation. And we're going to just try to make the salvation as big as we could possibly can in our small minds and my inability to try and explain it tonight. But it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Dearly beloved, it's a great salvation. It took a great salvation. It takes a great salvation. And you can turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read a few verses there to try and just tell you how great this salvation is tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints of light, Now look at verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. My dearly beloved, there is no sin that Jesus cannot save you from unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and I doubt that there's any here like that tonight. But Jesus, he is above all things. He is above all principalities. He's the fullness of the Godhead. He is enough. He earned salvation. Let me just stick with my notes here. The reason this salvation is great tonight is that, number one, it satisfied God's holy demand. Amen? It satisfied God's holy demand. God is holy. Man disobeyed him, and God drove him out of his sight. Sin, God cannot tolerate sin in his sight. And he hasn't changed, amen? Not a bit. God is still as holy as he ever was. Nothing changed about him. He still can't tolerate sin. All the types and shadows in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats, all the lambs, they were all a shadow, a type of what was to come. And God looked at Jesus and his soul was satisfied. He saw the travail of his soul and he was satisfied. And he says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus bore your and my iniquity. My friend, your only salvation is in Christ. No other. None other. That's why salvation is so great. The Bible says, think about this. God says, out of heaven, when Jesus was on the earth, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That meaning has taken on another dimension for me tonight. He is well pleased because he is his Son. He is well pleased because he is my Savior. God is well pleased because he stands as a mediator between my holy God and me. Hallelujah. That is glorious. That is wonderful. God said, and it was to be to a foreshadow, come there in Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That is true in Jesus tonight. No other place. If God comes and you are not in Jesus, you won't escape. Take my words for it. The Bible doesn't give us any other escape. People will say rocks and mountains fall on me and hide me. Some might try to say, like they did to Jesus, well, I'm Abraham's son. Jesus said, "Fui, I could raise up sons of Abraham from these rocks here. I'm not impressed." It doesn't matter who your father was. If it was a preacher or a bishop or the most godly man in this county, you need to be in Christ. Number two, this is so great a salvation because it saves the worst of sinners. Hallelujah. It saves the worst of sinners. Paul said to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And I'm heralding it out tonight that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. You may think tonight, well, Elvin, you don't know. I don't think there's hope for me. I've committed a lot of bad things, things that no one else knows about, perhaps. Well, Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. And I have something else to say. I'm not so much worried tonight what you committed. If you are grieved over it, and if you are sick of it, and if you're tired of it, then Jesus can save you because he came for the sick and the tired and the helpless and the hopeless. Amen. They that be whole need no physician, but they that are sick. If you feel sick of sin tonight, you got something going for you. You got to admit it. You got to agree with God. You got to take ownership. I am sick. I need a Savior. I need help. I can't stop sinning. I keep lusting. I keep listening to that disgusting music. I keep throwing my cigarette pack and watching where they land and go back tomorrow. I can't help myself. Many of us have been there. Maybe you're here like this tonight. You're like that woman with an issue of blood, had spent all her living upon physicians and couldn't be healed. None the better. Broke, sick, tired, at the end of the rope. Jesus comes walking along, like always a big crowd around him, but she sees her only hope in him. And she gets down on her knees. Maybe she was there already because of her sickness, but she just thrashes her way over through the legs of the apostles, perhaps in the crowd, and she touches but the hem of his garment. and there's virtue flows out of heaven and she gets healed. My friend, that can be you tonight. She was a hopeless case. You feel like a hopeless case? There's hope for you then. Number three, this salvation is great because it saves, hallelujah, to the uttermost. Glory, hallelujah. You have to be saved to the uttermost to dwell with God. You have to be saved completely to be right with God. You say, well, brother, you're saying that there's no more sin. Well, the Bible says, wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost. What does that mean? Full ended. Entirely. Amen. Those that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. Songwriter puts it well. My sin, oh the bliss of the glorious thought. Can you think about your sin with a glorious thought? Or does your sin condemn you? Can you think about your sin and rejoice? The songwriter could. It goes like this. My sin, oh the bliss of the glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord of my soul. It saves to the uttermost, my friend. If Jesus can't save it all, why would he save some? This is not a partial gospel. It's great. It's a great salvation because it saves to the uttermost. It's great because it's far reaching. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever, that means you here tonight, it means the Africa over in the bush. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That means go to hell. That means continue on in your sin and die in your sin and perish. But you can believe on him and not perish and have everlasting life. It's far-reaching because it says in Revelation 5:9 that it will reach to every kindred, every tongue, people, and nation. Hallelujah! It's far-reaching. It's great tonight because it saves me from my sin. It's personal. It's personal. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. It's the only escape. In closing, we're going to talk about the neglect part. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What does it mean to be neglect? What does it mean to neglect? It means to be careless of. Turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. My friend, if you're here tonight and you're worried about those sitting around you, what they might think, you know in your heart you're not right with God. You have no peace with God. You have assurance in your heart tonight that if you die, you'd go to be with God. You don't know. I tell you, put the blinders on and don't you worry about who's sitting beside you, and you fix your heart on God tonight. But in Matthew, we have this problem. Matthew 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And that's what I'm doing tonight here. I'm bidding, I'm calling, I'm welcoming. And he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. Come. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, one to his merchandise. They made light of it. My friend, that word made light of it is the same Greek word as neglect. They pushed it away. They pushed it away. They didn't want to think about it. They left other things, and you know, I might do it later. My friend, you might not do it later. My friend, My friend, God is here tonight. His Spirit is prompting you. My friend, God is here. And respond where the Spirit of the Lord is working. Don't be like Esau, who despised his birthright. He wished later he wouldn't have done it, and he tried to get it back, and he wept bitterly with tears. But there was no getting it back. Don't be like the unbelieving Israelites whom God left to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Be saved tonight, my friend. Be saved tonight. Just do it tonight. Or like the city of Jerusalem, who the blessed Savior looked down over and wept and said, how often? How often has God knocked at your heart's door? How often has Jesus wept over your heart? But ye would not. That's what it means to neglect. That's what it means to make light of. That's what it means to be careless for. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance? If God is making you miserable tonight, that's to your advantage. If your heart is pounding, praise God for it. If you're feeling uncomfortable and wishes would get over, God is knocking on your heart's door. If you're just wishing the preacher would stop and close this and for sure not give an altar call, I promise you God is speaking to you. Amen. And it's nothing. You may be a little bit ashamed and you may be a little bit trembling to come up to this bench in front of whatever, 400 people tonight. It is nothing like coming before the holy God in an unprepared state. Don't be like the horse or a mule. You all know what those things are around here. Who have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near thee. Are you a stiff-necked person? You want to go your own way, and the only way you're going to go where people want you to go is if you're steered with the reins. Don't be like that, God says. Were you ever in a store and you push yourself a shopping cart with one stuck wheel and the thing always wanted to go over there? Always, you had to hold the thing with both hands to make the thing go straight. Is that how you are? Do you have a stuck wheel that always wants to take you the wrong way? Those shopping carts are miserable to push. We usually put them away and get another one. Well, God will do that with you if you can persist in your own way. You may be wrestling with God, but I promise you tonight, this is one wrestling match you do not want to win. Let God win. God, when God says, okay, win, have your way, you're in trouble. Tonight, it's very basic. Confess your sins. Take ownership. I'm a sinner. I've hidden sin. I've never been right with God. I've never had peace with God. I've had religion. I know some of the Bible. There's no reality in my life. I have no joy. I'm fearful. I get scared when people talk about dying. I'm fearful. That's not of God. You come and take ownership and confess your sins. Lay them out on a paper if you need to. Dump your bucket. And then when you're done confessing, repent of them and forsake them. And after that, you turn to Jesus and say, I believe on you, I believe your word, I believe you're my only hope, I believe you're my only salvation, come into my heart. And he comes into your heart, and then you open your mouth and you confess him. I believe, I have confessed, I have repented, I have believed on Christ, he's come into my heart, and I'm going to confess him. With a heart, man believes, and with a mouth, confession is made. We're not looking for this little easy believism where you come and pray a little prayer and then go your own way. You are leaving something tonight. Don't come up here if you're not ready to leave your own life, your old life behind. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? One of the things you do not want to do, it will haunt you for eternity. If God is speaking to your heart tonight and you resist and you push away long enough and you die and go to hell, I think this evening will come back to you and it'll haunt you. You'll hear me. You'll hear me begging you, just come. Come to Jesus. You'll never be sorry. Hallelujah. He'll never be sorry. You'll have better friends, more friends, maybe even more money. The devil is a hard taskmaster. And he just makes us spend their money and waste their money. You at least know how to use it for the kingdom. I was never sorry. I was never sorry. I guess I didn't finish my testimony. Well, that track led me to my knees. And you flip the page, and then here's this man. He looks like the same man, another life. And he is repenting, and he is confessing, and he is pouring out his sins, and he is dumping his heart of all the hidden things down there, of all the wrong things, and the Bible says that his sins go beforehand to the judgment. See, our sins, you can send your sins beforehand to the judgment tonight, and let Jesus deal with them up there. He'll wash them away. He'll cover them with his blood. Whatever he does, they won't be there. And then you come there and everything's fine. If you don't, if you keep them tonight and you die, you're going to go to the judgment. The Bible says your sins will follow you there and they'll condemn you. Let your sins go first. By all means. Anyway, this man, he confessed his sins, send him on to heaven. And got this beautiful smile on his face and you see Jesus writing his name in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And I fell down on my knees not long after that. And Jesus just came in and saved me. I share some of the same testimony that our brother shared tonight. I was so different. I was uneducated. I didn't know the Bible. But I loved and I hated to speak about Jesus. Before that, I could speak about church. But I did not like to say the word Jesus. I was convicted about that. But, that changed. After that, I couldn't get enough of him. I just kept talking about Jesus and wanted to pray and didn't want to wear my little hat. And Mom and Dad thought I'm lost in my marbles. You know, something's wrong with this guy. I didn't want to eat. I wanted to fast. I didn't. No one taught me those things. The Spirit of God put those things in my heart. And he'll do it for you too. And I was never, never, never sorry. Will you come to Jesus tonight? Will you come to Jesus? James, did you think of a song to sing? What is it? 896. Why don't we all rise and we'll have a word of prayer? What is the song? What's the song name? I'm sorry? Oh, Why Not Tonight? Yes, amen. Good song. 896. Let's pray first. Friend, Jesus is not going to come back there and drag you up here, but his Spirit, I trust, is wooing you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of life tonight, Lord, for the blessed hope, for the living gospel. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the Savior, the mediator that paid the ransom, Lord, that took the sin for us, became a curse for us, drank that bitter cup, agonized for me and for everyone here tonight when God laid on him the sin of us all and was buried and shed his blood there and was buried and rose again the third day and ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the throne of God tonight interceding, being our high priest. Oh, Father, we thank you for the blessed story. We thank you for the glorious gospel. And I pray, God, some poor, weary sinner, young or old, would find a reality of that tonight, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You make your way up here as we sing this song. Go ahead, James.
Oh.
with God? Be nice if it was so. That's usually not the situation. My friend, it's not what you know. It's what you are. We know a lot. Do you have peace with God? If you die tonight, do you have the assurance? Are you right with God? Sing number 3. Sing the last line. I'd like for Sally to come up here and pray. Do you do that, Sally? You're the pastor of this one of them. You pray and you hear the heart of your pastor. And then you can sing the last line after that.
Think of these two precious souls that are laid to rest out here behind this tent. For them, it was their life. It was the last day on this earth. And Lord, we don't know. Tomorrow's sun may never rise. And I pray, Lord, for everyone in here. I pray for those that have never given their heart to Jesus. Oh God, You would speak to their hearts. Lord, that You would cause them to fall on their face before You, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that You would bind the devil who is lurking, Lord, seeking whom he might deceive and devour tonight with his lies, Lord. I pray that we could rise up, that faith would rise up in the hearts, Lord. That we could come to Jesus, Lord. Come as we are. Oh God, I pray that You would just rule in this place with Your Spirit, Lord. God, have Your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our blessed Lord refuses not.
James, would you have another song yet? Just as
I am.